Houston and surrounding areas. Did a recent hurricane or hailstorm damage your roof? If so, call Alpha Roofing and Claims at 682-206-3109 and ask for Jazz, your new favorite roofer.
By the time I left, I think I was 26, 27 when I left Meridian. And I'm glad it happened early in life, having to deal with, because not just the show, but I ended up becoming music director. So that means you're there all day. It's different when you just had a show, you come in during your shift, and you get the fuck up out of there. It's a lot easier, a lot better. You're that motherfucker all day long, nine to five, and then the shift after that, nigga. You're dealing with so much shit, it's just becomes, it's a lot. I feel for people in that. And I was amazed that they gave that shit to me as a kid, but I'm glad I got it as a kid, because as an adult, I know that dream job is some bullshit. For me.
And that's the thing, is that that's the, what I was holding on to, is like, man, I just still, yeah. Like, nigga, I told you, I listened to T-Grades, and you know what I'm saying, yeah. Blasting, and I remember this shit growing up, and how pivotal and how instrumental it was to me, but then on the outside looking in, and from where I am now, I'm looking at it like, this shit ain't nothing but a headache waiting to happen. You know what I mean? I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to lose all my freedom, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. Like, and you're going to feel it, and then you're the product is going to become distorted. You know what I'm saying? And then after a while, you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like I said, I'm glad it happened early. I'm glad I got out when I got out.
But see, you still came in prime radio. You know what I'm saying? True. Which, sidebar, let's start, because we recording, but I'm going to cut a lot of this. Okay, all this good. Other shit. I'm cutting all this shit out. But yeah, we're going to get to that. Yeah.
Prime radio. Yeah. And it was a different time. It was fun during my time. It wasn't as corporate. The companies were still becoming what they are now, these big radio ones and Clear Channels and what is it, iHeart Now, whatever the fuck. Right. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't all that back then. So it was still growing. You didn't have to sign out the van or count each number of T-shirts. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could just take the fucking van, grab the shirts, go get you a Whopper for free, nigga, because you got a shirt.
Right.
And you promoting the station at the same time. The station was young. Oh, yeah. Put me out to put them out the view. We don't want them getting old. It was a fun time, and the station was young. So, you know, you had accountability, but it wasn't just in the paperwork. You dig? Like, it was, you could have fun.
Yeah.
Now you got to ask for fun. Can I go having fun? Nah.
Yeah, you ain't got no fun.
The answer is no most of the time. So, I don't, that shit is a lot different now. So, I'm glad I got to see that shit when I was a kid. Changed the way I looked at a lot of life. I remember the first time I walked into that station, you not knowing nothing. I was 18, and I had never seen any of those radio personalities before. You just heard them. So I was a kid, so I didn't go to no clubs and shit. I think I might have knew who like Lady BG looked like or something. But when Robert Scorpio opened that door and I saw that he was white, nigga, I was like, oh, and then all these things that I remember hearing in A Tribe Called Quest songs and certain things make sense. You're like, oh, St. Hours.
Yeah.
When I, and I never tried to take any of the stuff that I did at the station with me, because whatever I did at that station was that. But like, I mean, hell, I stole the name of the show that I had to say what you want to say, but shit was a Hatter song. So it wasn't like I was, but I didn't ever pursue radio after that. I had some opportunities to go out of town, go to do other stations, but I was kind of like, whatever's next. I've always been, let's go to the next. And you know, I would.
And what year was that? We can keep this running.
I left radio in 2003.
And you came, what was it, 94,
summer 94. Well, the fall of 94 is when I started. So 9 straight years, literally going from kid.
The best years though, bro. You know what I'm saying?
It was dope, and it was dope for me to do it at that age. And I didn't really have hard feelings leaving that place. There's probably a couple people that aren't there and haven't been there forever. You know, people don't even know these people anymore that I don't fuck with. You know what I'm saying? They know who they are. Other than that, the place is cool. Radio's cool. I moved on. I grew up. Started my own radio. We were like, you know what? We want to do it our way. I want to hear what I want to hear. I want to hear classic Southern hip hop. Me and Corey Moe put together our Country Rap Tunes radio. You know what I'm saying? Rebranded it now. You can get it for $2.99 at your Google Play or App Store. But it's doing pretty well. We jamming. You know what I'm saying? We're showcasing new music. We're starting to put content on the air as far as, you know what I'm saying, mixes, jocks, and that type of stuff. Like, that's fun. And that's just one thing that I'm doing. But a lot of the stuff that I've done along the way, you realize, you know, the way that the people or the company, the enterprise that you did it for, they y'all don't gel. They take some of your talent and include it with their shit. I've had a chance to figure that out, go get with some other talented people, and we can do our own thing.
Do it yourself, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, I might not have $400 million in, you know what I'm saying, equity and stocks and whatever, but I will. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And if not, me, my son will, because it's coming. Hmm. I'm not tripping. It's the moves have already been made. The steps have been taken. What they say when you're millionaires, billionaires have seven streams of income.
Yeah,
there's about seven right now.
Yeah,
and there's money coming in. Some might be $20 a month. Some might be $10,000 a month. But you know what I'm saying? It's coming.
Income though. Yeah.
It's coming. Yeah. So I'm patient now. I'm a bit older. And just recognize some stuff, man. That's what happens when you get older. You live long enough, you just kind of see shit a little bit clearer. Not a lot clearer, because you don't know everything.
Right.
You live long enough, and I'm in my 40s now, so having lived a little bit and seen a little bit, you can kind of do things, apply what you've learned along the way, and that's where I'm at in life now. Yeah. So anyway, thanks for having me. I'm at the podcast.
We can do the intro now. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, if you've been watching, you know what I mean, and you don't know who this is, if you know, I'm sure you know who it is. You know what I'm saying? If you don't recognize the face, you definitely recognize the voice, man. Listen, today's guest is a radio legend. You know what I'm saying? And if we're talking about Houston radio, like, we're talking about a radio god, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? He's up there with the gods in radio when it comes to this Houston thing, man. I'm talking about when we loved the radio in those 90s and that early 2000s, man. The best radio years, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? T. Gray was right there in the mix, man, doing his thing, DJing. He had the Say What You Want to Say segment. Man. You know what I mean? They had a lot of stuff going down. You know what I mean? Just legendary shit, man. You know what I mean? Produced for Big Mo, for Pimp C. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Got records with Roe. Got new records coming with Lil O. You know what I mean? Just put out a beat tape called The Gray Tape, man, which is one of the best 17, 18 minute listening experiences that you can check out. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I'm talking him up. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, just happened to be my homeboy, and he's here today, man. T. Gray, what's going on?
Donnie, I really, first of all, I appreciate them words, but I watching the growth. It's been a couple years since I've been in here, and having the opportunity to watch this thing really grow from however many subscribers to over 10,000 and bigger and keep getting bigger. I'm proud of you. Thanks for having your boy back. But keep this shit going, my nigga. Like, what you're doing right now is definitely necessary culture-wise. And this is part, you know, I stay quiet a lot these days because I'm a little older. I'm a dad. I'm raising my son. I'm in a studio at home. I like to be at home a lot. I'm old. I like to be at the house. So I'll just sit back and just watch and see where the game is going. And if folks like you keep doing what you're doing, shout out to my man Kiati too. He's doing a lot. There's folks that like y'all are to keep this thing going, underground wise, but taking this underground shit. I see you putting K Reno and all these people that need to be heard of that you might not hear from every day unless you just locked in with them, you know what I'm saying, and tune into what they got going on. But you bringing all that to the masses. I feel like you got some the masses now. You're getting to the masses. I appreciate it. Just being an OG in this now.
I appreciate it. And that means a lot because, I mean, I already told you, bro. You know what I'm saying? When you come to that radio shit, man, like.
Man, that was.
You did it with the best,
man. I appreciate it. I was blessed. I was lucky. Lucky and blessed at the same time. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Yeah.
I just happened to be in the right spot. A lot of people fought and put me in the right spots and fought to keep me from doing dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? Keep me out of bad spots too. So I had a lot of support in that.
When you say dumb shit, what
would just, you know what I'm saying? The streets wouldn't let me. They like, nah, you don't need to be out here doing this.
Yeah.
You, man, I hadn't, like a lot of kids, especially during my era, I'm sure now, drinking, smoking starts, you know what I'm saying, young, high school, junior high. And so I didn't do a thing. I didn't even have a curfew when I was a kid. I started DJing. I had a first club when I was 15. We're doing parties at 14, 15, 16. My parents trusted me so much that I never had no curfew and no shit like that because I wasn't out there wild. I was really out there.
I was the same kind of kid, too. Yeah. Like, my mom pretty much trusts, like, if you said go and do this and this, that's what I'm going to do. It ain't going to be no, I ain't going to put no whip on it.
And we would be out in the middle of the night, come home in the middle of the night, and I'm coming clean, sober, not know nothing. You know what I'm saying? That was me. I was an athlete back then, too.
But it's interesting, though, because you and your brother are close, and he, you know, be the completely opposite.
Yeah. Lee Gray was, he did things a lot different than me. And that's, you know, siblings, sometimes that happens. I hate that it happened. I wish that he and I would have gelled a lot more in that way. I think that he and I collectively an impact would have been a fool.
Was it ever times when you would tell him like, hey bro, come on man, let's do some of this other
stuff?
Or
when he would tell me, hey man, stop doing regular speed stuff, slow it down. Straight up, that's how I met Slim. Was through Lee, you know what I'm saying? And so he would always, man, slow it down, man. Come on, you can do that, man. I'm over here like, here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. Like, nah, man, I'm doing my own thing. And it, you know, me staying in my lane worked out, I think, becoming the type of club DJ and that, the energy that I brought forth. It helped me get, you know, looking back the arena gigs and these certain things that I've had, it's because I had that energy. It wasn't too laid back. And that's just part of me. But there is that part, shit, that I remember Lee would play me Screw Stuff. And I didn't like the music. I didn't like the Chop song. I liked the flows. And I heard Kiki on the You're a Customer flow. Might as well give me an extra OZ. Man. Yeah. And I'm like, that's the part that I really fell in love with about Slow Down shit was the flows. You know what I'm saying? Which is,
that's crazy, because for me, it took me, I had to gravitate to the flows.
Okay, so it's the songs it was first.
The DJing, really. Right. I was just amazed at, like, how you doing
that?
How
you doing
shit?
That? See, but I come from DJing and shit. I was like, Screw. I met Screw and he was cool. But it was something about them boys' flows. And then him, the way he had them on the flight, it was just, it made sense. I was like, Screw is a dope fucking producer. Really, really was. His ear, all that West Coast shit he was jamming. I saw your tweet the other day talking about what songs now with because Screw's ear was impeccable. Great ear. There's a lot of West Coast shit that, from Spice and all them boys that we wouldn't have known about.
Never.
You know what I'm saying? Let's Screw put them on them tapes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, man, it's a whole lot of Bay dudes that I'm cool with because of back then. 40 in them, you know what I'm saying? They would come down, mess with Mean Green, mess with Screw, and I got cool with a lot of them Bay dudes because of that.
Sidebar, we got to talk about Mean Green, because you had linked me up with Mean Green, and me and Mean have had these incredible talks that I wish I could have recorded. You know what I mean?
But
me and Green will talk for like an hour or two at a time. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He'll get in, he'll do his impressions. He told me a story. He said, he blew my mind, because he said he managed Pac earlier in his career. Yep. And he was telling me a time about Pac getting stuck at the airport and your mom or somebody. Like me too. Yeah.
Because Carol worked for Continental. It was Continental Airlines at the time. She retired through United Airlines. But yeah, mom's, I don't even remember that damn story. Like, I just know she hooked it up and set him up and got him up out of here.
Yeah. He tripped me out. He's like, yeah, man, you got ass T great, man. Pac got stuck at the airport and his mom.
I be forgetting about that damn story. Damn.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy shit about my mom and I? So my mom was in Vegas and Pac got shot. She went to the fight. It was her 40th birthday.
Oh, shit.
I was in L.A. when Big got shot. I went to the Soul Train Awards that year.
And
it was with my man Carl and them. Shout out to the Magical Soul Brothers. They the FBI feds confiscated that tape because they were filming the Peterson Automotive Museum and shit. All that shit happened. Anyway, yeah. It's crazy to think about my mom and I. It's
no
both
shit.
Both the icons.
Yeah, but he told me, I'm like, nah, T-Gray got the coolest mom in the world. Oh, yeah. Like,
OG, she's straight, man. She's straight. I'm glad that she gets to hear her son on my tape too. You know what I'm saying? It's good to have my brother's voice on there.
How often do you get to keep up with your brother now? You know what I'm saying?
We communicate quite often. I'm gonna say at least a few times a month. You know, we make sure we reach out. You know, he's been gone a while. My brother in the feds, in case y'all didn't know, I ain't gonna tell y'all what he did. I'll let him tell y'all one day. But or what happened? I'm gonna say what he did. Come on. But why he's there. We stay, he's been gone for like 11, 12 years or something like that. It was a long time. But you know, we still keep up. His kids, all that, he's still as close as you can be, you know what I'm saying, being away and being gone for that long. But
wait, 11, 12, oh, so he was pretty much an adult then.
He's grown. Grown, he's grown, he left. He's super grown when he get back.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, he's doing well. His family's, you know, been doing well considering the circumstances and shit, you know, and we try our best to, as a family, we keep pushing.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad I was able to do this. It's been a long time coming. I did an album 20 years ago. Never put it out. It wasn't ever supposed to come out. There's some shit that was set on it that was foul. Kids. Not knowing and just being arrogant and doing stuff. And I had a this is when things kind of started ending with the station. I had a song that, like, literally right when I had the wax press, we were pressing up wax and stuff, a rule came down that said DJs couldn't have their music played on the air. And that pissed me off. I was mad because you had a Hatter that did this thing, you had GT Main who was doing shit, you know what I'm saying? You got a lot of people just putting out records and doing their own thing and getting support. I started remixing, did a couple Beyonce remixes, got paid and whoop, and then I was like, yeah, you know what, let's go forth this. met some cool dudes off the radio, off the roll call, from A-Leaf, as a matter of fact, Jason and Chad, Mouth and Play. And we put together our own kind of chronic situation. You know what I'm saying? I had my dog pound and whoop whoop. And right when it's completed, you know, this rule comes down and it just, and I'm young, I'm 26, 5, 25 maybe at the time. And feelings was hurt. No lie, no other way to put it. My feelings was hurt. Like, yo, y'all disrespect, I've given you all this, everything. I've never said no to any job, asked anything. And then, you know,
I can't,
like,
get my record played.
Mm. Like, it's disrespect. And I'm not trying to beg to play my record. Like, if niggas want to play it, they're going to play it. You know what I'm saying? But just not even having that opportunity to even present it and see if dudes like it or whatever. It's just, and then just things started going south. Hmm. Not really south. Nothing happened. Ratings were good. I was still on top. You know, just.
But that was kind of
the. You just realize the relationship is not respected. It's not reciprocal. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so you have to start looking like.
It's what you can do for me, not what I can do. Yeah.
And so you get. Yeah. You start. The real, the matrix is pulled from. You're like, oh, this is how this is. I get it now. And it changed my position in life forever. No, I might not have been as every day in your face, but I did things at my own terms instead of everybody else's terms since then. Hmm. So literally from late 20s to now, it's been on me. And I take that. There's been bumps in the road. There's been hard times and shit, but I'll take that too. And then I know me. I know what I can take. I think I know anyway. And you can hit me all you want. I'm a stand up. I'm a bounce back. You know what I'm saying? Every single time.
So, okay, so now we here with the gray tape.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Beginning of the pandemic, I got to jam. I just sat in that chair. Zero bought a beat, a song called Chiefin' that we did. And then my homeboy Risco did a song called, the song with Bootsy on the same album, Life of the Party. And it came out jamming. I'm like, okay, we got some slap. I started sending beats to people and stuff. And a lot of things were going on at the time last year with, you know, a lot of protests and a lot of, you know what I'm saying, activism, the awakening of not just young black America, just America, period. There's a lot of bullshit happening out here. Yeah. So with everybody doing their thing, I sent beats to Bun, sent beats to Kiki, sent beats to all sorts of people, Slim, put a package. I was putting packages of beats together for different people just to kind of bring them. I'll be like, this is how I hear y'all. You know what I'm saying? And a couple people responded. I got a shout out to my man Lil O, which we go crazy way back to before back. You know what I'm saying? Back in the Destiny's Child days and all that, back when he was signing MCA. But O got a beat from me. Looks like Zero got a beat. And then everything else is kind of, I figured out that we have talent in our own. My friend Natalie, business partner Natalie, who is the entertainment director for the Rockets. We had a record, you know, 15, 16 years ago, that Going Crazy record that went top 15. She and I got together and just started vibing in the studio again, took her in with Risky, and an EP is created. It wasn't like we planned it, really. It was just, there was nothing happening. The NBA shut down, everything shut down. So all my jobs, clubs, everything shuts down. So what I'm going to do, I have a studio in the house, let's use it. And that's what we did, and came up with a Natalie project that ended up coming out at the top of the year called Winter. Which we're about to do a deal. I'm not going to get into super specific details. Just shout out to OG Ron C, which is a record with Natalie and Carmen San Diego that's coming out and is about to be a problem for everybody.
And it's a tight record. I heard it.
Appreciate it.
You know, when it come out, you'll be able to hear it. Like you say, you don't want to say too much, so we'll leave it where it's at.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah. And so that project that birthed this situation with Ron, I'm proud of it, man. I don't think we was jamming. I like the way it sounds. I think we did everything in-house, mix, master, everything was us. And so with that happening, and then the emergence of two of our artists, Jackson, who was Natalie's baby sister, who just happened to also, she was a captain of the Rockets dancers. This past season was her last season. She just really dug in herself and just started showing us the side of her that we'd never seen. I didn't know she wanted to perform. I've known Jackie since she was... Jackie used to be running around the studio when Natalie and I were back in the studio back in the day making those records. She was signing Universal. Jackie was like 11, running around, her and her little brother running around. And so she's always been around the music. I just never knew so she grew up 10, 15 years later. And she's like, comes to me on her own without her sister. Was like, I think I want to make music. I'm like, what? I didn't even know. And a couple years after that, now we just put a single out on her in July. About to put another record on her called This Time that Risky produced. I produced her first record. And we're taking our time with her. We're dropping singles right now, but we are building a project on her. But she's jamming. O'Shea, who is the homie, he makes clothes, he shoots videos, he's a dope MC, he's a dope producer. These are the two artists that we're working with as far as our company. And the company is called Main 10 Entertainment. We kind of play on both of our names, took some letters from both of our names and kind of arranged them and made something that made sense to us. So Main 10 is the movement. Jackson and O'Shea are our artists. Natalie's, of course, her project was released on the label and my project released on the label also. But we're not the focus. We did it just kind of show.
Right.
And it's fun. Like, Natalie's project and then starting to work on Jackie and O'Shea's projects really put me in this mood to put out this beat tape. I've helped Risky, my production partner and friend, one of my best friends, his name is Risco Funk. He has a beat right now that we put out in 2019 that has gone viral this year. I think we're at like 1.6 million streams.
Oh, man.
It's called Spartans. Him and Mitty Monster did the beat together. I just helped Risky put the beat tape that it was on together, and he gave me a percentage of the record. Looked at my distro kit, I'm like, oh, shit, I got some money now. Like, it's crazy to see a song that, you know, it's a minute long beat, and just to see it shoot up and have this many streams, and looking at these charts, and I'm like, yo, people in Honduras, or people in Germany, or people in Nashville are jamming this damn beat. Looking on TikTok, I could type the beat in, and it's 400, each thing has 400,000 views.
Damn.
Like, no, it's crazy, crazy, crazy.
How do you make a beat go viral?
Now, we still don't know how this happened. I don't know how this happened.
Yeah, because I'm sitting there somebody found, like, okay, so I need to get that type of action.
And people that have been using this beat has been like gym swole-ass workout folks. So I don't know who the first person that did it. I could probably dig and find. Elliot could probably find it. I don't know how. But one person did it, and then another person did it, and it's all over the damn place. It's crazy. So, and the beat tapes, the idea came from Cornbread. From Beans and Cornbread. Cornbread, he was like, because, you know, they like to be in the studio with people. They hate sending beats out to people. Like, big OGs, they throw back, they old school with
I'm
it.
The same way, man. Like, I feel it. Like we're not going to make, like, I can send you beats, right. And especially if we're in the same city, like, if we're going to really make the record, let's make the record.
No, I agree. So he was like, man, instead of sending out beat CDs, we got tired of that. So we put together beat tapes, put it on the server. Because even if you send somebody a CD, there's no guarantee they're going to get back at you. Nine times out of 10, they probably won't. But if you listen to my beat tape at least one time, I can get that 0.000 cent. And yes, I'd rather get that for the effort that I took.
Right.
So that was the point of the beat tapes, was really just to cover your ass on these. Like, yo, I'm sending the same beats to these 12 people. They listen, they don't hit back. At least I could send it and get some money back from my effort. That's all it was. And I guess kind of like jazz, you know, just jazz fan. I love jazz. I listen to Ronnie Jordan and all these people that, you know what I'm saying, things with no words. And then there's like EDM stuff or where there's a little bit of words in it. And so it's kind of like me, I'm blending both those worlds now. I don't necessarily need the artist per se. Not that I'm trying to be the artist, but cool. How you think Steve Aoki and all these motherfuckers out here that are getting $100,000 a night.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Nah, you got to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm putting these bass lines and these drum patterns and all this out there and some of these loops and whatever we stacked on top and we here now. And like I said, I feel like sonically I'm the best I've ever been. And I've been doing this a long time. I'm making beats since I was 13, 14 years old. I didn't know what I was doing then. You know what I'm saying? I didn't. The Chameleonaire records and the Big Mo's and all that shit, I don't think I knew what I was doing then either, but those records got picked.
When y'all did like the Hell Yeah and all that, was that in the studio or that was something you said?
I just gave D-Rex some beats and he hit me back and was like, here, we like these. I'm like, okay, bad. And then what I liked about Rec Shop though, and you can even go back to them Pat albums, they had a cohesive sound because Derek and Floyd and Noak, them boys knew what they wanted to sound like. So you can go from album to album and be like, it sounds like Rec Shop.
Sounds like Rec Shop.
You feel
right,
me?
Right,
sounds
right.
Like Rec Shop. So I think that's something that's missing in the town. We were talking a little earlier off camera, and I asked you, what was the last classic album out of the city?
Yeah, no. Hip-hop album. I said, I mean, off the top of my head, and yeah. I'm not considering, because somebody's going to say Astroworld, you know what I'm
saying? Right. I'm not talking about, no, I'm not talking about major release. I'm not talking about no Beyonce. Like,
yeah, something that came from here.
From the town.
Homegrown shit. Yep. Boss All Bosses.
Slim Thug. And that's
2008.
I'm gonna say 13 years ago, 11, yeah. So because that had a sound. Yeah. Charles was there, helped put that album together. I was there. Jim Johnson, we just had this thing. We knew.
So I know you was I know you were DJing with Slim. Tell me about A&R those sessions.
Charles Chavez. I was Charles Chavez, the A&R at Latium. Latium Entertainment.
Right.
Slim was managed by Latium at the time.
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how he know Hev.
Okay, so that's how you...
Because Hev was Charles' road manager. We sent and booking. Hev, yeah.
He did tell me that separately. Now I'm putting it all together in my head.
I used to go to Mike Dean's house in Cyprus. Damn cockatoos and shit flying around everywhere. To mix Slim Records. To mix the... all them damn Mr. Lee records that came out because Mike was mixing. I'd drive my ass up to Cypress all the time.
No shit.
Be in the studio with Mike and Birds, and Blunts, and white women. I'm crazy.
No shit. Yeah, okay, yeah. So then that's how you become the DJ and you go on the road and all that. Through
yeah.
The, no
yeah.
Shit.
Yep. Because Latium, the housing crisis happens. They close the office. It's just Charles and Debbie. Then they close. They let us, all of us, go. And I was working with Rayface at the time on the J-Dog project. So I saw the first 48 and all that's how I'm in the video and all that shit. I was around then.
No behind 10 too?
I'm your ghost A&R on that project also.
No shit. Who's that? Sci-Fi did that whole thing, right?
So all the arrangement, the sequence and stuff, that was me and Raymond.
That's what I'm saying is that, like, again, we're talking about, and that's another thing. I didn't say this off air, but it's like, it takes all of this to get you a good record. These records that's going platinum and hitting these charts and all that, it's not just the artists putting these records together. No. You got your producers that are actually producing. Not making the beats. Yeah, not just making the beats.
And I'm listening and I'm like, nah, let's put this verse over here and split it.
Arranging. And put this part right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's what I like. And that's why I feel like there's a crazy amount of talent. I like Dice Soho. I think Dice is crazy talented, and I would like to do a project with Dice. And I feel like people don't know my sound yet. They haven't heard me. They know the DJ, know the personality. And I'm like, you might not believe that I can put these slaps together. Listen to this tape, and it's going to change your mind. I would like to get in with Killer Kyle Young. I think Kyle hasn't had a solid project that's him, period, yet. I like what he's done. Lorraine Motel was dope, you know what I'm saying? But I just feel like, if I was to get in, and I don't have to produce everything, I know to go grab Donnie, and there's 12 tracks over there, and out of them 12, we can get 4, and out of them 4, 2 is going to be dumb hitters. And then I can go over here and grab a couple from Mr. Lee, and then I can grab a couple from Risco or whoever it might need to be, and put something dope that's cohesive in the sound, the keys, the certain things that it needs, and I feel like rappers, because you're doing a lot, being the MC and the artist, the CEO, you got to go get your artwork done. So you scatterbrain. You're all over the place getting this shit done, which is great. Like you said, the independent scene, gift and curse.
And the truth is, too, like you said, you're doing everything. The reality is, now y'all going to be mad, you know what I'm saying? But rappers don't really be knowing what they want for real. They think they know, but they don't really know. You know what I'm saying? It takes somebody with a different type of ear.
Different type of ear. Yes.
To go ahead and always talk about production like, buying a suit, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the way I like to produce. It's like you go in and you say, okay, I like this color suit. Okay, cool. This is my size. Okay, yep. The arms and all your shit gonna still be a little long. You need to go in there. Now we gonna trim. You know what I'm saying?
Now we gonna get it up
just for you. You know what I mean? So, like, I can have a beat with, you know, 3 different beats, same sample, and it's gonna have different vibes.
Every friggin' time. I do that all the time. I'll take the same sample beat. Let me make a different beat with the same shit.
Because everybody can't wear the same suit.
See, that's what I'm saying. So, and you out here trying to tailor your own suit.
Yeah.
And you having to cut down. Yeah. You use this.
You can't be properly fitted trying to fit yourself. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And I wanted to show people. This is a little bit of my ego talking too. I feel like I'm jamming. I really do. Yeah. I feel like right now, this time and space, like I've sat in that room in the back of that house for long enough to where I'm like, all right, let me put some stuff out here. And a couple of these records did come out early this year, and when people started biting, offers came to sign Jackie or whatever. Natalie Project picks up some steam. I'm like, we got something here. So come on over here and trust his ear. But like I said, I do have some favorites. I don't like to do a project with Slim would be dope, but I also feel like Slim's had so much representation over these years that is almost unfair. Mm. Like, he's dope. Killer's dope. The boys in New York love and respect that boy. His pen is crazy. He's stupid crazy. I just want to sonically, that's a little bit of my ego talking too. I just really feel like we could make something super duper dope. I feel like that with Dice. I think FA and them are doing a great job. Mike Dean and them are doing a great job with him. But let's come over here and get some, you know what I'm saying? Let's really put together something. Let's lock in. Let's not just keep throwing singles out there. Let's lock in and put together some bodies of work instead of these curated playlists that a lot of artists are doing now. Not none of the artists that I named, but there are a couple of albums that have come up.
You're talking about the recent releases, yeah, that have been put out, like, okay, accept this as a playlist, not necessarily, right,
you can hit
a body
shuffle
of work.
On the Drake album, it don't matter what order them songs are in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We still going to jam the damn, all the ones with Future, you know what I'm saying? The shit with Ron's voice in the front, whatever, the I'm Too Sexy, you know what I'm saying? Don't matter where it come in. You know what I'm saying? You in the party mode, you at the house pre-gaming or whatever.
You do some cool jams, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I want to make a body of work with some people, man. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's necessary. I think there's a whole generation of folks that don't know, and it will be something new to introduce them to. And if we can get some, it's going to burst some better ideas coming in the future.
And it naturally lives longer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it naturally lives longer, bro. I'm very
still
big.
Bump the Chronic to this day. Yeah. Both of them.
Yeah. And you know, like, number four, number five, number six.
You know.
Okay, when this
you
comes,
know how it's
supposed
to sound when it
comes
right in its own beat with the next one or whatever, right after that little skit part or whatever. Yeah. Like,
we can't
that.
Never, we can't negate these factors in making music, right, man, just because it's simpler, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right, yeah, no, I like to put thought into, and a lot of people just go in, like, even my artist O'Shea, him and his girl at the crib the other day, we had a presentation, and she even said it out loud. Chanel said, he can go in and freestyle, and that's cool, but when he writes, and he thinks that shit out, and he's really right. And she's like, that's the stuff I love. And I'm like, ain't nothing wrong with putting a little extra thought into it.
You know what I want to see, since we're talking about now we talking about the house now, you know what I'm saying? I want to see, boys, because this is what a lot of Houston artists don't do for whatever reason. I don't know if niggas too tough, but they will stray away from making records for chicks, man.
Oh, man, look.
And it's like, bro, you got hard eyes under your IG pictures. Yep. These women are loving you. Yep. We're going to get in shape, and we doing all this. Yep. And all you ain't got nothing for these women
Give
to ride something. Around and listen to?
Give them something.
Give them something. Fuck around, be your biggest record.
Come on, man. Look, I got
to. I've told a couple niggas, Fab the Game.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Fab the Game. Come Fab will give you something for the ladies on that single side, and you know he's a spitter, so you, it ain't never no denying that. There's he don't lose no credibility.
I even did it on my tape. My boy Sub-Zero, he helped A&R my tape. And at first, we was going hard. When he was like, you want to pay homage to Dr. Dre and Screw? Oh, we about to. And so everything was boom, 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 and just hard and just mean, and we was about to do drive-bys on everybody. And then I showed the artwork to a homegirl of mine at the bar work at Drift. And she was like, "Ooh, I want an oversized hoodie." And I went, "Put this tape in for."
I need something for you to go
you know
with this
what?
Hoodie.
Let's re. And then it also, I'm not one dimension. I'm not a gangsta ass nigga, and I'm old. Like, what am I doing? Like, let's.
But you know where that come from? Because really I'll be on that same shit. It's like we be liking to make shit we like to listen to.
Right. Exactly. No, I wanted. I'm trying to. I listened to that damn Snoop intro on that Chronic, and that's what I really tried to remake. That I'm like, I got to make the hardest. And then I'm like, wait. That's not just all who you are. You're this. And so, sonically, it starts one way. By the time that tape ends, I'm into my musical bag. You're going to hear some melodies and some sequencing in those beats where you have the definite chorus, and then the verses are different. There's a B verse and that type of stuff. Hell, I even sang on the damn record.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wanted to showcase a bit more. So, fellas, you got to kind of look at that. You're not just one way. You got your kids. I see boys with their kids. It's a whole different way than when you just with your niggas. You know what I'm saying? So give the kids something. My son will be 14 in a couple months. I make sure I played some stuff on the way to school this morning. And he was just like,
I got it.
You know what I'm saying?
It's important to connect. Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere, man. Yeah. Everywhere. And I'm not just, you know what I'm saying? It ain't just old folk that like me. It ain't just young kid that like me. It ain't just girls that like me or like what I do. So I want to, you know, present something. And this is my first time ever really presenting something like this. Everything else I've done is for other people, with other people. This is, you get to hear me for the first time really ever.
And see you too, because you got the video.
Right. Got a video. Yeah. It's out right now on my wrist. Yeah. I ain't going to say what I sampled, the chorus. But I like it. It's a record. Actually, my homegirl, Alexa, was supposed to put together, but she's mommy dearest, two children now, and I ain't mad at her. Life is checking change for her. Mm-hmm. And we might revisit her rhyming career a little bit later on, but priorities, things change. But I love the song, the beat craze. I've had it. I think that was one of the first beats that I did when pandemic started. Mm-hmm. And we're just having fun with it. You know what I'm saying? I want people to vibe, listen out, jam. Some of that stuff is like really, that On My Wrist is a club record. You know what I'm saying? I made it on purpose. Like, I know what a club sound like. I want a strip club. I want a strip club trunk record. Mm. And I think I kind of came across with that. But we just having fun, man. I'm having fun with music finally again. Like I said, people put a bad taste in my mouth for the longest. So I stuck with DJing and just DJing. But, you know, having the tools and the know-how and then the passion. And I really owe a lot of this to O'Shea and Jackie. Because they're great, in my opinion. And they forced me to get good. I'm like, wait, you know what? I don't want them to have to go to anybody else for some music. If y'all got something, got an idea, hit me with it. I'm going to do my damnedest to come up with that. So I'm at a point now where I really have the time and the focus to do that. So that's where I'm at, man.
Do you, because, I mean, like I said, you've had the radio career, amazing radio career, you know what I'm saying? Being able to do the DJing thing. Is this kind of where you are, like, riding it out for the rest of your career? Like, I just want to be more of this.
Right now, and you never know what opportunities come from this. I'm writing a screenplay. I've been having this movie in my head for like 10 years. So Risky and I are putting together this comedy. We'll see what happens with that. I told Jackie and O'Shea and Natalie, and I told Main 10 has 5 years hard of me just going hard. And at the end of them 5 years, I want to take a look. And if I can go fishing, I'm going fishing. If I got to work a little bit more, we'll work a little bit more. But I really want to give them these 5 years super duper tough and give it to them. Hey, y'all can take this. I'm going to go fish.
That's all right.
I'm kind of wanting to go sit down and go fish. Go give me a little pond in Brookshire. Hmm. Y'all don't play. I really want to just kind of – I've done this really, really seriously and at a high level for all of my adult life, which is weird. To be able to look back and say that since I was 18 years old, but really since I was 15, it's 30 years straight of me just going in.
That's crazy.
And now I'm like, I'm kind of tired. Not really tired, but I just, like say for instance, the Rockets. I don't work for the Rockets anymore. I resigned at the top of August.
Sidebar, what you were doing with the Rockets?
I was the DJ for the Houston Rockets for the last 7 years and arena host. I hosted contests on the court and that type of stuff, so. If you ever been in a game within the last, you know what I'm saying, last 7 years when Harden was there, or even this past season with the new youngins, Christian Wood, all the youngins coming in, I've been in there making sure the atmosphere was sounding how it feels. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my man DJ Palmo, who is now the Rockets DJ, lone DJ. He's been there with me like the last 3-4 seasons though. He's one of the best in the town. In any format, and just a good dude. Shout out to Kiati, who's now the host of the Rockets, the contest and arena court host and stuff. So I think that's dope. It's just time. I did 7 seasons, did 3 prior to that as the PA announcer when that building first opened. I was the yummy. and I feel like with I don't want to necessarily say the youth movement because I was brought in specifically during Harden's time. And it worked out well. You know what I'm saying? James and I got cool. We're still cool to this day. Lil Baby and I got cool. No, but I had fun. It was great. And I don't like to hog the lane. And I'm a person that recognizes when change needs to happen, even though others might not agree. And a lot of folks didn't agree. People, you know, for whatever reason. And I had fun. And I think that we made a lot of memories, and I was pretty good at that in there. I would leave out of that arena, even if we lost, I felt satisfied because I gave it my all and made sure them fans walk. People walk out high-fiving me. Man, you were jamming, huh? Bet we did what we were supposed to do. And now it's P's turn. Just like the radio game, you know what I'm saying? It was time for me to get out of that and not force myself back in. I didn't want that job. I like to move on to what's next. I said it earlier. What's next? So basketball was great. I love that arena. I make some great friends. The great staff, the game operations staff, Jim, Natalie, Michael Canella, Taylor, all these people that I work with, great people, and they will continue a great program in there. And the fans are going to have fun. They're going to love how it sounds. It's a whole new youth movement, and I predict a championship in the next few years. I really do. It might take like 4 years, 3 or 4 years, maybe five. But I do see them young boys coming with it. And I just think it's time. It's a good new energy in there, and it's just time. But I had a blast. It was a dream to do that for the city. Come on, man. I got to watch Kobe retire. You know what I'm saying? Things like that. I got to watch Harden hit 50 on LeBron. At the end of the game, I played in the club 50 Cent just because of the 50, and the arena goes live on a Sunday. Like, there was things, there was so many moments on that that were really, really great. And I had a blast. But it is time to move on and do a lot of things that I did in there for them, for me, and my team, my crew now. You know what I'm saying? I love my crew and who what we birthed and put together and maintain. I think is going to make some moves. And there will be more artists coming. Hell, I might put out a Donny Houston album in a second. You never know. Like, I'm really in that space where I want to help the creatives, not the hustle. The hustle, nothing wrong with the hustle. I'm down with the hustle. I get it. But I'm at a space and I'm not hustling. I'm out here creating, and kind of reaping some fruits, but still helping the creatives to achieve their dreams and their stuff. I've always been that type of person. I'm not a leech. I don't want to milk anybody for their shits and just leave them depleted. I want to help and then help them be able to sustain their own level of, and you send them off, you know what I'm saying, like the mama bird or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it's about. A lot of people be trying to hold on to motherfuckers and latching. Nah, that's not how this life works. That's not
You got to recognize your time, place, and space in people's lives, and you know,
That's where I've been at in this, man. And having a, you know, it's 30 years in this, and being able to look back and see the mistakes that I made, plenty.
It's crazy you said that, because I was sitting over here just kind of going to ask you, is that within this 30 years, what would you say, like, either life or just the journey has taught you? You know what I'm saying?
Embrace that journey. All of it makes to this point. And there's so many things, whether it's be about your word. Do what you say you're gonna do. That's off top. But don't be afraid to try and to experiment. You can get weird a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know when you've gone too far, I think, and that sometimes that's difficult to try to decipher. But I haven't been afraid to try something. 15-year-old me would not have made Natalie's Going Crazy, because I'm hella, not necessarily just anti R&B, but I was really into this underground and into hip hop. So it was either De La Soul or it was Ghetto Boys. Like, and that was it. Like, and Tribe and Short, you know what I'm saying? And but that's it. Like, I'm strictly hip hop and just, I don't hear shit else. But now I'm making top 40 records. Jackie record, I told you, was literally guitars. It sounded like an Amy Winehouse beat or some shit. Like, I was limiting myself back then, but I'm a kid. Not realizing that my mom raised me on all this other music that will come into play later on. You know what I'm saying? I'm able to recall a record from a group called Pleasure named Joyous, and I'm like, oh shit, there's a horn line in there that I could probably use in this, and I'll just replay it myself or whatever. And in a pop record or in a reggaeton record, I did a record for Carolyn Rodriguez this time last year. Gray makes reggaeton beats? Why not? I play it. Yeah, I'm in the bar playing hella Bad Bunny. Like, what? I play crazy amounts of, I better be able, you know what? I'm playing country. Dead ass. I'm in this bar in the Heights. I'm playing country. So I'm like, you know what? My whole life I had this block towards country. Not fucking with it. Just blocking myself out. Man, the country fan base is the most loyal fan base ever. And yeah, I'm going to make some country records. I feel like there are some, like, the country rap tunes can really excel. I'm not mad at what Nelly and them doing. I think it's just smart. The Lil Nas kid, I'm not mad at none of that shit either. Like, it's smart, and you got to kind of go with the times. And if you feel that you've grown up and you love country, but you love hip hop also, and you can put that together and make it. What's my man with the with Sway Lee on the record? It be like that. Sometimes he mixed light skinned cat, mixed dude, but he black and he making key country artist stuff.
Yeah.
Kane Brown, that's his name. Kane Brown. See, look like LA, like woo. Kane Brown. Look up his numbers. You're gonna be like, oh, nigga, numbers is crazy. But why not? But I know all this now, and it takes 40 something years of being in this and living to not be so closed minded for me. And I think that where I would like to be and where I would like to see this company go is to be a multifaceted, you know what I'm saying, like label. We got everything. I wanna make, me and the homies was talking about making some trap metal. You heard that shit? There's bands out there making trap metal.
No shit.
No, it's a whole genre of shit. Hmm. And it's slap. You got hi-hat 808s and then...
I'm going to have to look into that, man.
Man, I'm finna start a band. Fuck it.
Hmm.
Like, why not? You know what I'm saying? I'm at this place and I want to do that, and I think it'll all come back.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
If I just sat and made the most mean gangster records all damn time, I'm going to be boring and shit is just going to get like...
Yeah.
What? No. No, you don't want to do that. I don't.
Yeah.
So I'm having, like I said, I'm having fun. I'm exploring and experimenting, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah. What's your top five Houston artists all time?
Brad's number one. Brad's so dope. Like, y'all should really go back and study Scarface catalog. Like, really listen. I'm talking about all of it. Emeritus. The Deeply Rooted, all the later stuff, the early stuff, all of it. Just listen to it, man. Brad is, he's the GOAT. He's so musical and so important to us down here. So Scarface is off top number one. The Don Key is very important to the culture. I've never heard a whole genre of people rap the same, like that whole style with him and Pat and Pokey did Dallas, Houston, San Antonio for 15, 20 years straight. Nigga still rap like that. How? Don Key is very important to this, man. He's very, very important also. Like that the Slim Thug is number three, because like I was talking about myself as far as what I do at a high level for consistently. Stave Thomas been doing this shit
for
years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and that's one of those situations where I get to go, I was right. And I like saying that. That's an ego thing, but culturally, you want something to, like I said, last forever, and you want to be, I don't want to be a gimmick or novelty.
Yeah.
Nothing I do, I want it to be novelty. My Natalie record still gets played in the stores and shit, and I keep charts. I see the Philippine spins and things like that. I'm like, it wasn't novelty. You know what I'm saying? There are some things that we did that were novelty because, in my opinion, I don't think the artist that was the presenter took it serious enough. I'm not naming names and shit, but I just feel like a lot of that stuff just wasn't real, and you can tell, and it don't last. I don't play a lot of some old shit that we were part of that I don't play. There's shit that I was a part of that I do play now still. And I'm in that path. I want to stay there. I want to really. So that's why I take about taking the time to think things out. Everything is not just free flowing and we just do whatever. Like, I'm really thinking about these things. All right, so Brad, Key, Slim. I'm not Travis and Beyonce, right? Or Travis and Beyonce.
I mean, you can do whatever you want.
I mean,
it's just top five.
I think Beyonce's very, Beyonce is in that.
I mean,
that
I got a, that's why I got on the wall. People ask me, like, why you got Beyonce? Like,
she's the queen. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Beyonce used to hang out at Astroworld back when Solange Little. I used to do broadcasts on the box from Astroworld, and she would hit me up. Can we come, man? B is the culture.
Facts.
I play that. What's the record? Who Run the World, girls? And when she say Houston, Texas, baby, that shit's just hard to me. Like, she throwing up the H in all these pictures in Tiffany catalog pictures and shit. Like, that's important AF. You know what I'm saying? Mama Tina, when you hear her speak, you still hear Houston. When you hear Beyonce speak, you hear Houston.
Houston come out girl, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
it ain't finna.
Yeah.
Shit, when you hear Meg Thee Stallion, you hear Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's very important. That's how important Beyonce is. Like, she's such the goddess that it's almost out of our reach, or people look at it like that. But no, the town is still very much so.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Rocking with B, and B has a lot of influence and a lot going on down here. So I got to put B in that. And probably my fifth, just because he's loud, I like Willie fucking, well, it'll be Willie D and Chad together. It'll be Willie, Chad, and Bun all together is my fifth. Hmm. Because they country as hell and loud and made sure that you knew that they were country and loud and jamming. Hmm. Hmm. Chad and that jamming is so important to him. That's why, like, when Bun will say UGK is Pimp C, because the music was pimp. Like, putting that clap on that snare.
Mm-hmm.
Changed everything. What do I do to this day? What do you do to
this day?
We put that clap on that snare because of Chad. You know what I'm saying? These choruses are strong because of Bun. You know what I'm saying? These and Will allowed us to be black and loud. First person that once I got my own shift at the radio, got my nighttime job, I inherited the show called Willie D's Reality Check. And it was every Monday night, and I just knew I grew up on Will, and now I'm in the studio with him every damn Monday, and he is cussing people out and having guests, and it was just, and I'm just like, I'm like 20, but I needed that. To this day, we still need that. Whatever he says when he's doing the Isaiah show, whatever he says on his shit, Daddy should have pulled out, whatever he says, all that, we need that. I need Will to be as blunt and all that, and that's Will, Chad, and Bun were very blunt. Very in your face, very loud, very country, and that's so. I put three people as my number five, but that's my Mount Rushmore of the town, right there. And so many other people have done so many things, and I hope nobody's offended. But those dudes are very, very important, and the Queen, all very important to the city.
For sure. Okay, last one. This is probably, I don't know if it's gonna be a short answer.
I can freaking talk.
Yeah, no, I just know that I want to bring people in and actually have a full discussion around this.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a short answer.
I'm down with that.
What's the better album, Ghetto Dreams or Don't Mess With Texas?
Don't Mess With Texas got him a deal, didn't it? Yeah. Universal called after that.
But I mean, I think
but Pat wouldn't
have. They would have did the same. Yeah,
they did go a priority for Rec Shop. Because my records did come out of priority. Shit. Solo was jamming.
It's
man.
Tough.
Shout out to Sean, man. That boy there.
Yeah, Solo was going crazy.
Golly,
on both of them. Yeah.
Man. Player hater, wanna know who you are.
Yeah.
It's still, that's like my favorite. Superstar is a great song.
Yeah.
Like a really.
Shout out to Swift and Mike D and them all. Yeah.
But it's going down. I mean, you know it going down. That's a, you know what I'm saying? Like.
And see, I always liked It's Going Down more than I like Southside.
Same. Jam. No. Man, nah, Going Down hard.
Yeah.
It's a bright sound. It's a good feeling. Like, Southside got that.
It's the minor
chords keys that make you, and you're saying, but that
It's
bright,
Going Down sounds like It's Going Down.
It reminds me of, or even like Ball and Parlay, there's these bright songs that are sunny, sound like sun, whereas Southside sounds like nighttime.
Yeah.
It's Going Down sound like daytime, and I like DJing in the daytime. I turn up at night, but I like DJing in the daytime. It's fun. You get to play certain things you can't play at night.
Yeah.
It's Going Down is that type of record.
Hmm.
Shit. Damn. Man, them boys, I don't, we might have to have a, we'll have to do a round table track for track and like really do it. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I said. We want to bring it back. You know what I mean? We'll bring maybe one or two other people and we'll really break it down. But that's one I'm starting to incorporate, man. If you're coming on this show, I'm finna ask you that.
Man,
that was some
records.
That's what I'm saying. Man. That's what I'm saying.
Why you peeping me? Everybody knows that.
You know?
Let the geeky. Man, come on, man. Yeah. You put me in a bad spot. I don't know. Now I'm about to listen to them both back to back. because I can finally listen to music again. I haven't listened to nobody shitting them up by my own. I'm a lean with Kiki. You not the only Fat Pat radio interview?
No shit. I remember you told me you interviewed him and then he died like not long. Like there was probably,
I think he might have like one other one. But yeah, wasn't too many. It was me. And they called me last minute. Hey, Pat's coming up. Pat. He was excited. I was excited because he was on the radio and I was interviewing him.
And what he was on, like, oh, it's finna go down. Mm-hmm. Like, he was looking at single, like, this is the start of my career. Yeah,
we be running the album, whoop, 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 whoop. And then, man, shit changed with the quickness. The old time. But H-Town, I love you. The Great Tape Volume 1, all we doing is really paying homage and using my last name. Screw changed everything. He was a great dude, and he will influence us forever. I'm just a vessel here to help continue, just like you. You know what I'm saying? And I feel that now I sound okay, and I'm not scared to share no sounds with y'all. So rock with me. I hope you like. I got another one coming soon, and just look out for everything on Main 10 Entertainment. That's pretty much what it do.
Already, well, man. I appreciate you coming through.
All love, dog. Every time. You know me. Look out for the Johnny Houston album coming, damn it. We putting these. I just heard a song with Paul. By the way, Paul, what you doing with this album y'all got, dog? Come on, man.
Yeah, man. Me and Paul, got an album we did, man. That's just sitting up in the vaults right now.
Damn, man. We gotta Paul, that coming. Is it coming down, coming through, crawling slow? Whatever that song is. All right, that's it. That's all I got to say.
Already. Well, hey, man, listen, check out part one, too. If you missed part one, it's audio only, you know what I'm saying? So that's on Apple, SoundCloud, Google Play.
Back before we had Elliot in here making shit super tight.
Yeah, before it was a visual, you know what I mean? Straight audio. Me and T-Gray talked for like 2 hours or something. Chopped but there's up. A lot of stuff in there, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just as good as this one. So check that out. T-Gray, man. Appreciate you coming through. You know what I mean?
All day, anytime, man.
Get the Gray Tape.
We jam. I got merch coming, too. So look out for the hoodies and the t-shirts and stuff. Coming. I might do some beanies with my boy O'Shea. We'll see. But, you know, that's it.
And your social media, too.
Oh, at DJ T-Gray on Twitter, IG. What's the shit with the videos? TikTok, same thing. At DJ T-Gray. At DJ T-Gray. TikTok, Twitter, IG. Rock with your boy. Main 10 Entertainment. We here.
That's what it is, man. It's the Donnie Houston Podcast. T-Gray. Hey, man, we out here.
Donnie Houston.